Well, think of the words please and thank you. Please and thank you, we call them the magic words, unlike hocus pocus and abracadabra. These magic words are vitally important, and they're ingrained in us from a young age. I can think back to when my mother told me to say please and thank you, the numerous times because I was horrible at it. You see, my mom would tell me this over and over, say please and thank you, when I was so young. At the age of 9, she would want me to be polite, to say thank you every time I received something, and to say please when I needed something. And oftentimes, she would actually withhold what I wanted until I said please. If I wanted dessert, I couldn't have it until I said please. And begrudgingly, I would say, please, in a deep voice kind of like that. Actually, that's probably a good mimic of when I was 9. But it would be an unflattering please, non-sincere. However, her teaching me these two important words has helped me in my life, right? We think of the words please and thank you, and they're vitally important. Please says something that we're in a need of something. We humbly confess, please, can you help me with this? Please, I need this. Please, I want this. And please is a humbling position to say, I need something that only you can help me with. While thank you says, I couldn't do this without you. Thank you for helping me out here. Thank you for delivering that to me. Thank you for taking my order this morning. I don't know how to make a coffee if it wasn't for Tim Hortons. I just can't make as good coffee. That's what it actually is, my Keurig. I gotta get some new K-cups. But all in all, we couldn't have done it without them. From consuming something at a drive-through window to actually needing help with some more serious things. Take, for example, even if you get a speeding ticket, I always like to come back to speeding tickets. You can try to say, please, officer, don't give me a ticket, but more rather you say, thank you, thank you, thank you for not giving me a ticket. See, they could have, but rather you're thanking them for the absence of that ticket. And so you're saying, I couldn't have done this without you. And we're quick to ask and slow to say thank you sometimes. And there's a lot of different times where we ask things so quickly and we forget to say please. And we walk away from that conversation without saying thank you. However, we need to humble ourselves to receive and to give thanks. We need to humble ourselves to say please and thank you. And it's a constant in human life to put ourselves to a lower position to say, you hold all the cards, I'm going to need your help. We accept our humanity when we ask for help. And there's probably been a time in your life where you've asked for help. Some of the little ones, right? A move. I can't move all these boxes by myself. Will you please help me? And the thank you is a pizza after. A renovation. I have no idea how to do woodworking myself. Would you please help me renovate our kitchen or our bathroom? I don't know how to do plumbing either. I'm actually not a handyman at all. So that's my big please. Childcare. Would you please help me with taking care of my kids? I want to go on a date night with my spouse. Would you please help me here? Would you please pass the salt? And you can use this at our potluck. Here's a reminder, please pass the salt. Some small ways of asking for something, but still a humbling way. But then we also have things that are a lot harder. A lot harder to say please and thank you. Would you please help me on making a payment? I'm a little short this month. Would you please help me with healthcare? It's getting harder and harder to take care of somebody right now. Would you please help me pray? I'm sick. I'm not feeling well. I need help from God. And these are a lot of hard things. And this is what Jesus faced a lot of days in his mission on earth, where people are coming up to him and saying, I have this request. Would you heal somebody? Would you help with something? And this happened all the way from the start, where he was at a wedding and he noticed that there was no wine. And his mother came up to him and said, turn this water into wine, okay, sure. To, will you please help for the 100th time heal somebody who's sick, who's hurt, who's broken? All the way up to where we say thank you for dying on the cross. See, Jesus is never short of miracles in the Gospels. And to sit right in the middle of his mission, we're going to be reading in Luke 17. Starting at verse 11, and this is the story of the 10 lepers. 10 people who have leprosy. You see, this disease is a physical-looking ailment. You can see it on their skin. You can tell someone who has leprosy. And it's brutal. So brutal that people would call these people unclean. If you had leprosy, you were unclean. And although we know a lot more about this disease today, they didn't back then. Today we know that you can't get it without actually being close, skin on skin with somebody. But back then they said, if you are a leper, you have to stand 10 feet away. 10 feet away. Kind of reminds you of COVID a little bit too. Stand away from me. I'm not clean. Say that if you had COVID. But for these guys, it was a real thing. And it was a lifelong thing too. And so just imagine that. Imagine a group of people on the outside of society who we deemed unclean. They're in their own little section of the world. And read with me, Luke 17, 11 to 17. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance, and they called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourself to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? So a big piece we need to address in this narrative first off is the manner of healing. I always love how Jesus' healing in the Gospels are always different. Sometimes he says, "Go," and they're healed. Sometimes he touches them and they're healed by the laying on of hands. There's even that one where the woman goes and touches his cloak and she's healed. And then so in this story, Jesus is saying, "Go and see the priests and you will be healed." Jesus says, "Go, show the priests." And what that means is, go get a checkup. See, the priests were actually the medical examiners of the time. And they would certify you to say you are clean or unclean. You are a leper or you're not. And so Jesus is actually saying, go check if you have leprosy. Go check one more time. Which is kind of a weird request. Because Jesus is, again, standing 10 feet away from them. They're sitting outside the city gates because these people can't go in. So they're catching Jesus walking down the road. "Hey, Jesus!" Shouting from distance away, "Come near, please. Have mercy. Have pity." And Jesus says, "Well, go check again. Go check again if you're still sick." You see, Jesus can't approach them. Jesus can't walk up and say, "You're healed now," in a face-to-face conversation. Jesus can't go up and just touch them, laying on his hands. Jesus can't get close to them, 10 feet away. And that's a law-abiding thing. These lepers could face jail time if they ever got close to somebody. And so what Jesus does is he tells them to go. Check for good health, as if they were already cleaned. So is this mercy? Is this the mercy that they wanted to say, go, check again? See, Jesus' miracle in cleansing these people shows us two things. And the first one is that it doesn't matter where Jesus is. It doesn't matter where Jesus is. He could be 10 feet away. He could be side by side with you. He could be sitting in heaven right now. Jesus wants to pour out blessing, just as he does for these people. Go, check. Check one more time. You will be clean. And the other thing is that Jesus might not respond how you think. He might not say what exactly you're thinking. His response might not be, "All right, just touch the cloak. Let me lay on my hand. You're healed right now, immediately." And think about it. These lepers, they're pleading for Jesus. "Jesus, Master, have pity on us. Come close." They no longer want to be affected with this leprosy. They want to be healed. They'd like to be a normal person of society once again. But rather, they ask for mercy. Have pity on us. Have pity on us. What they're really saying is, Jesus, we've heard the stories. We know what's happened. Please, just show us some of that. Show us that same love that you've shown the sinners, the sick, the broken. They're not asking for healing, but begging for pity. They're pleading that their circumstances would change. Again, Jesus is not reaching out his arm, but rather he's saying, just go. Go see that your circumstances have changed. Go to the priest, find him. He will tell you that things are different now. Things will be changed. So how would you respond? Maybe you're asking Jesus for a change of circumstances right now. How would you respond if he said, go, check again if it's different? Because it will be. That'd be a hard ask, especially when you've been living with it for so long, to be told, go and check one more time. And there are different moments like this. There are different moments where Jesus has told people to go. We could think of the Roman centurion who walks up to Jesus and says, my servant is sick. And Jesus says, well, he will be healed. Go back. And he says, oh, I believe you already. Don't worry. Amazing, right? But we can look all the way back to the Old Testament. For a same healing like this, there's actually a really close story to these 10 lepers. It's about a guy named Naaman. And see, he was not a happy guy. This is in 2 Kings chapter 5. And you see, Naaman, he was kind of angry. He had leprosy, and he wanted to be healed. And so he did everything he could to find healing. And being told to go to a prophet and to seek that healing. Now, the prophet, he tells him, well, you should go to the River Jordan and wash yourself there. And he's mad. He's so mad that he rips off his clothes. He's flustered at the commands because he's done so much to heal himself of this leprosy. And so he's told one more time, go to the Jordan and wash yourself. Wash away the leprosy. And it's only until someone convinces him, well, maybe you should do it, because he's a prophet of the Lord, and the Lord may be right, that he actually realizes that he's been freed of his disease. You see, God was actually trying to change something in him. God wanted to heal him, yes, but he wanted to change him. Naaman had to learn more that God wanted to change his soul. Again, I told you, he was an angry man. He literally tore off his clothes in frustration at these commands. And as for these 10 lepers, maybe knowing the story, maybe not, are asking, Lord Jesus, Master, have pity on us. Have the same mercy that you showed him. They want Jesus to come near, knowing that he can't get anywhere closer than 10 feet. They want the healing. They want the same comfort that Jesus has given to the sinners. And we all know the hardship, though, of walking to the priests to check. You see, Jesus gives mercy for free to those who seek it. And I think that's what these 10 lepers are trying to do. They're trying to seek it, and so they say, okay, we'll do this test. We'll go check again with the priest. We'll go check one more time. And just think about it. When we seek him, he pours out his mercy. We say, Lord Jesus, forgive us, be with us, come close to us, and we feel his presence with us. When we seek him out, he's there. And when we look for Jesus in a powerful way, then we receive his mercy. So what does that mean? It means ask for his presence. Call for him. He wants a relationship with you. Sometimes we seek things that are through him, but really we need to seek him. We all have a list of things we'd love accomplished, things we want God to change, things we want God to do. But all God is saying is, come near, be with me. And this is even shown for the lepers. One comes back, and where does he end up? At the feet of Jesus. The one who comes says, I will still be at the feet of Jesus, whether it be 10 feet away or 1 foot away. Even though they wanted to be healed, the faithfulness compelled them to go to the priest. Their faith maybe was determined by healing. That could have been said for the number 9. They wanted to be healed, so this was just another step in the way. That, oh, Jesus, you would be my healer. But I wouldn't follow you after that. But for the one, he said, it was maybe never about the healing. Maybe it was never about his leprosy. Maybe he just wanted to know Jesus. And so that's why he comes back. And we can all feel like that. We all have something that we want. Maybe it is a physical healing. Maybe it's an emotional healing. Maybe it's a relational healing. But the question is, if you were redeemed in that, if you were physically, emotionally, relationally, if your circumstances changed, what next? Where would you end up? Would it be at the feet of Jesus, or would it be somewhere else? Because the end goal was always to find more of Jesus. The one leper who comes back is the example. It's always about coming back to Jesus. So the question today is, are you looking for Jesus to do something spectacular? Or are you just looking for Jesus? Are you just looking for Jesus? And that's where this story starts to shift. And we start to see in this narrative that it becomes a lot less of a please Jesus, will you do this, to a thank you God for all that you do. Because only one comes back and Jesus says, where are the other 9? Where have they gone? Why is there only one that came back? Jesus healed them all, didn't he? In the story it says, they walked away and they were clean. Even before they got to the priest, they were already cleansed of their leprosy, their disease, their afflictions. And so why does only one come back and start to praise at Jesus? And again, we pop over to that images. These lepers may be outside the city gates on their hands and knees, 10 feet away, begging, Master, please have pity on us. To where only one comes back and says, Master, thank you for your mercy. Let me praise you for all that you've done. We need to desire to come back and be at the feet of Jesus even when everything is said and done. When the blessings have been poured out, when the gifts have been received, we need to come back and transform our plea of mercy to a song of praise. Saying, Jesus, you are so good for all that you've done. Thank you. Just imagine, we've walked out of this 40 days of prayer. We're just heading into our AGM as well. So there's 2 things that we can look at. But for the 40 days of prayer, some of us can say, man, God, you didn't answer that. That could be hard. Some of us can say, God, you did answer that. I've heard a few people say, hey, the thing I brought in that 40 days was answered. Well, praise God. But if it wasn't answered, still praise God. Because he has done so many more blessings even prior to that. Look back on it. There's been so many great ways that God has been evident in your life. He's been evident in my life. I could name you a ton, and I'd be here all day, and I know that's probably not what you guys want, but there's so many things to be grateful for. We need to pull ourselves back and say, thank you, God, for all the ways that you've poured out your blessings on us. And even heading into the AGM, it's a perfect time to reflect. I like to think of AGMs as a way just to look back and say, God, here's all the ways you've been here. I can point to you in every single story and say, God, you were there. Thank you for that. And that's what this story is really all about. It's in here because Jesus wants to show the gratitude when the blessings have been poured out? Will you be like the nine or like the one? And even to add on to all of that, Luke puts in, it's a Samaritan. It's not a Jewish person. It's not one of the people that Jesus originally came for, but it's rather someone else. Someone who shouldn't even be affiliated with Jews. Jesus shouldn't even be talking to this man. It's another one of those stories. And yet Jesus here heals someone who he can't stand near, who he shouldn't be associated with. And this man comes back and says, thank you for all that you've done. You've helped out someone who you shouldn't have helped. What a powerful message. That even though he felt like an outcast of society, both because of how he was born and the disease he contracted, he could still come and be at the feet of Jesus. Jesus doesn't care about how great your afflictions are. He's just saying, come. Sorry, he does care about your great afflictions, but he is just saying, come. Because he wants you to receive his mercy in the pouring out. Honestly, if this wasn't just outside of a village and a Pharisee was about to say, hey, Jesus, these lepers are way too close, he probably would have invited them closer, even though they had their disease. He probably would have said, 10 feet is nothing. Come closer. He wants to have mercy on you. He wants to pour out his blessing. He wants to heal. Don't hear me saying anything else. He wants to heal you. But above all that, he is saying, come. Be grateful for the ways that he's already been there. And look for the next times that he'll pour out his blessings. And all of this comes to do with an increasing of faith. Because he asks this question, where are the other nine? Not to draw judgment, but to say, where is your faithfulness? And the increasing of our faith comes in two phases here. When we cry out to God for his help, and when we return with thanksgiving. It's in the two pieces. And again, we all have great needs. And we cry out for his help, and we say, Lord, help us. And we grow in our faithfulness. We are built up to say, Lord, I'm waiting for the day. I'm waiting for the moment where you pour out your blessing. And when all is said and done, we get to say, Lord, you have done such great things. We write them into our testimonies. We share them with others and give thanks by teaching others. Jesus has poured out his blessings in such great ways. And so I want to invite you, look for those moments. If you ended in this 40 days and you said, Lord, you didn't answer my prayer, look to number one, say, this crying out of help and this continuation in prayer is saying, I'm growing with you, God. I'm at the feet of Jesus every single day asking you for more help. Or you're saying, God, you answered my great prayers. Thank you. I choose to be here still, even though it's already been done. Even though I'm living on a mountaintop experience, I'm still here, sitting at your feet. Because Jesus wants a relationship with us. He doesn't want us to see him as an ATM. He doesn't want us to ask and then walk away with a blessing and to never come back. But rather, he wants to be with us through and through, increasing our faithfulness through our hurts and through our redemptions. Imagine it. Us being a church that even though if we hurt, we can still be with Jesus. And even if we're having a good day, we still desire to be with Jesus. Even if our prayers are not answered, Jesus, you're still good. Even if our prayers were answered, Jesus, you're still good. And so the best place to start with gratitude is today. Best places to start with today. Don't look and say, God, once you answer this, I'll come back with thanksgiving. Don't take a loan out on the blessing. but rather say, Lord, let me just recount for a second. Here's A, B, and C, and that's not even in this year, of the ways that you've poured out your blessing. Take a moment this week. Pull out a journal and just start writing all the ways that God has blessed you. And only quit when your hand gets tired. There's so much more, right? If we want to be thankful people, we need to start with the blessings he's already poured out. We can't pay it forward. Because after we cry out for mercy, we need to come back to say thanks. And so if you feel bitterness, if you feel bitterness because God hasn't answered your next prayer request, I want to invite you to say thank you for the last one. If you feel like there's a weight on you still, to reflect back, even into the past week, to say, God, here's where I saw you, A, B, and C. Because if we want to be thankful people in the future, we got to look back into all the ways that he's already poured out his blessings. And so, as we conclude, will you guys say thank you to God with me through prayer? Let's pray. God, you are so, so good. Lord, in every way, your faithfulness is evident. God, even when you don't answer prayers, we know you're still with us. And when you do, we want to come back and say thank you. And so, Lord, just thank you for all the things that you've done. All the things you've done for me